His breath smelled of venom, poorly masked with peppermint.
Even if you find it, what then? Your uncle's idea is foolishness. You know you can never beat me.
He tapped my nose.
Hope you've got a plan B.
His laughter crashed over me like an avalanche, knocking me to the deck, squeezing the air from my lungs. Suddenly, I was back in the Nissa tunnel. Little brownie dudes frantically pushing at my head and feet, screaming as they tried to get past. The mud walls collapsed. Smoke stung my eyes. Flames roared at my feet, roasting my shoes. Above my head, drops of acid ate through the mud, sizzling all around my face. I woke with a gasp. I couldn't stop shaking. I wanted to grab my friends and get out of Alfheim. Forget the stupid whetstone of Bulwark. Forget Kvasir's mead. We could find a plan B. Any plan B. But the rational part of me knew that wasn't the answer. We were following the most insane, horrifying plan A imaginable, which meant it was probably the right one. Just once, I wished I could go on a quest that involved walking across the hall, pushing a save the world button, and going back to my room for a few more hours' sleep. Around sunset, we approached the dragon's lair. We'd now spent over a day in the forest, and we didn't smell so good. This brought back memories of our homeless days. The three of us huddled together in filthy sleeping bags in the alleys of Downtown Crossing. Ah yes, the good old bad times. My skin crawled with grime and sweat. I could only imagine how Blitz felt in his heavy anti-sun outfit. Hearthstone looked as clean and spotless as ever, though the Alfheim evening light tinted his hair the color of Tizer. As usual, being an elf, the most pungent body odor he produced was no worse than diluted pine sol. Jack weighed heavily in my hand.
Remember, Senor, the heart is located at the third chink in the armor. You have to count the lines as the dragon drags itself overhead.
Assuming I can see? I asked.
I'll glow for you. Just remember, stab quick and get out of there. That blood will shoot out like water from a fire hose.
Got it, I said queasily. Thanks. Blitzen clapped my shoulder.
Good luck, kid. I'll be waiting at the exit to pull you out. Unless Hearth needs backup.
He glanced at the elf as if hoping for more details besides, I have it covered. Hearthstone signed, I have it covered. I took a shaky breath. If you guys have to run, run. Don't wait for me. And if I don't make it, tell the others.
We'll tell them, Blitzen promised.
He sounded like he knew what I wanted to say to everybody, which was good, because I didn't.
But you will make it back.
I hugged Hearth and Blitz, which they both tolerated despite my B.O. Then, like a great hero of old, I crawled into my hole. I wriggled through the Nissa tunnel, my nose full of the smell of loam and burnt chocolate. When I reached the hole near the dragon's lair, I balled myself up, grunting, shoving, and turning my legs until my head was facing the way I'd come. As bad as crawling out of this tunnel would be, crawling out backward, feet first, would have been even worse. I lay face up, staring at the sky through the lattice of branches. Carefully, so as not to kill myself, I summoned Jack. I positioned him along my left side, his hilt at my belt, his point resting against my collarbone. When I stabbed upward, the angle would be tricky. Using my right hand, I would have to lever the sword diagonally, guide the tip to the chink in the dragon's belly armor, then thrust it through, into the dragon's heart with all my inherye strength. After that, I'd have to scramble out of the tunnel before I was sautéed in acid. The job seemed impossible, probably because it was. Time passed slowly in the muddy tunnel, My only companions were Jack and a few earthworms that were crawling across my calves, checking out my socks. I started to think the dragon wouldn't go out for dinner. Maybe he'd call for pizza instead. Then I'd end up with an elfish Domino's delivery guy falling on my face. I was about to lose hope when Alderman's putrid smell hit me like 1,000 burning frogs kamikaze diving into my nostrils. Above, the woven branches rattled as the dragon emerged from his cave.
"I'm thirsty, Mr. Alderman," he growled to himself. "And hungry, too. Inga hasn't served me a proper dinner in days, weeks, months. Where is that worthless girl?"
He dragged himself closer to my hiding place. Dirt rained on my chest. My lungs constricted as I waited for the whole tunnel to collapse on top of me. The dragon's snout eclipsed my hole. All he had to do was look down and he'd see me. I'd be toasted like a Nyssa.
"I can't leave," Mr. Alderman muttered. "The treasure must be guarded. The neighbors can't trust them."
He snarled in frustration.
"Back then, Mr. Alderman. Back to your duties."
Before he could retreat, from somewhere in the woods, a bright flash of light painted the dragon's snout amber, the color of Hearthstone's rune magic. The dragon hissed. Smoke curled between his teeth.
"What was that? Who is there?"
"Father!"
The voice turned my marrow to ice. The sound echoed, weak and plaintive, like a child calling from the bottom of a well.
"No!"
The dragon stomped the ground, shaking the earthworms off my socks.
"Impossible! You are not here!"
"Come to me, father!"
The voice pleaded again. I'd never known Andoron, Hearth's dead brother, but I guessed I was hearing his voice. Had Hearthstone used the Othala rune to summon an illusion? Or had he managed something even more terrible? I wondered where elves went when they died, and if their spirits could be brought back to haunt the living.
"I have missed you,"
said the child. The dragon howled in agony. He blew fire across my hiding place, aiming for the sound of the voice. All the oxygen was sucked from my chest. I fought down the impulse to gasp. Jack buzzed gently against my side for moral support.
"I am here, father,"
the voice persisted.
"I want to save you."
"Save me?"
The dragon edged forward. Veins pulsed on the underside of his scaly green throat. I wondered if I could stab him in the gullet. It looked like a soft target, but it was too far above me, out of my blade's reach. Also, Jack and Hearthstone had been very specific. I had to aim for the heart.
"Save me from what, my precious boy?"
The dragon's tone was tortured and ragged, almost human, or rather almost elfish.
"How can you be here? He killed you."
"No,"
said the child.
"He sent me to warn you."
The dragon's snout quivered. He lowered his head like a threatened dog.
He sent you? He is your enemy. My enemy."
"No, father,"
said Andoron.
"Please listen. He has given me a chance to persuade you. We can be together in the next life. You can redeem yourself, save yourself, if you willingly give up the ring."
"The ring! I knew it. Show yourself, deceiver."
The dragon's neck was so close now. I could slide Jack's blade right up to its carotid artery and... Jack hummed a warning in my mind. "No, not yet." I wished I could see what was happening at the edge of the clearing. I realized Hearth had not just created a magic distraction. He had summoned the spirit of Andoron, hoping against hope that his brother might be able to save their father from his wretched fate. Even now, after all Alderman had done to him, Hearthstone was willing to give his dad a chance at redemption, even if it meant standing in his brother's shadow one last time. The clearing grew still and silent. In the distance, briars rustled. Alderman hissed.
You!
I could only imagine one person Alderman would address with so much familiar contempt. Hearthstone must have revealed himself.
Father!
Pleaded Anderon's ghost.
Do not do this!
Worthless Hearthstone!
The dragon cried.
You dare use magic to sully your brother's memory?
A pause. Hearthstone must have signed something, because Alderman bellowed in reply,
Use your board!
I clenched my teeth, as if Hearth would carry around that awful little board Alderman used to make him ride on. Not because Alderman couldn't read ASL, but because he enjoyed making his son feel like a freak.
I will kill you,
the dragon said.
You dare try to trick me with this grotesque charade?
He barreled forward, too fast for me to react. His belly covered the Nissa hole and plunged me into darkness. Jack lit his runes, illuminating the tunnel, but I was already disoriented from fear and shock. An opening in the dragon's belly armor appeared just above me, but I had no idea how much of his body had charged past. If I struck now, would I hit his heart? His gallbladder? His lower intestine? Jack hummed in my mind. No good. That's the sixth chink. The dragon needs to back up. I wondered if Mr. Alderman would respond to a politely worded request. I doubted it. The dragon had stopped moving. Why? The only reason I could think of, Alderman was in the process of chewing Hearthstone's face off. I panicked. I almost stabbed the beast in the sixth chink, desperate to get the dragon off my friend. Then, through the muffling bulk of the monster's body, I heard a mighty voice yell,
Back off!
My first thought? Odin himself had appeared in front of the dragon. He had intervened to save Hearthstone's life so that his rune magic training sessions would not go to waste. That commanding roar was so loud, it had to be Odin. I'd heard Jotun warhorns less forceful. The voice boomed again.
Get away, you foul, smelly excuse for a father!
Now I recognized the accent. A little Southie with a hint of Svartalf. Oh no. No. It wasn't Odin.
You're not getting anywhere close to my friend, so put your smelly dead frog carcass in reverse!
With crystal clarity, I envisioned the scene. The dragon, stunned and perplexed, stopped cold in its tracks by a new opponent. How such small lungs could possibly produce so much volume, I had no idea. But I was certain that the only thing standing between Hearthstone and fiery death was a well-dressed dwarf in a pith helmet. I should have been amazed, impressed, inspired. Instead, I wanted to cry. As soon as the dragon recovered his senses, I knew he would kill my friends. He would blowtorch Blitzen and Hearthstone and leave nothing for me to clean up but a pile of fashionable ashes.
Go!
Blitz bellowed. Amazingly, Alderman slid backward, revealing the fifth chink in his armor. Maybe he wasn't used to being spoken to in such a manner. Perhaps he feared some sort of terrible demon was hiding under Blitz's black mosquito netting.
Back to your smelly cave!
Blitzen yelled.
Hya!
The dragon snarled, but it retreated one more chink. Jack hummed in my hands, ready to do our job. Just one more section of belly armor to go.
He's only a stupid dwarf, Mr. Alderman,
the dragon muttered to himself.
He wants your ring. I don't care about your stupid ring,
Blitz yelled.
Scat!
Maybe the dragon was stunned by Blitz's earnestness. Or maybe Alderman was confused by the sight of Blitzen standing in front of Hearthstone and the ghost of Anderon, like a father protecting his young. That instinct would have made as little sense to Alderman as a person who wasn't motivated by greed. He scooted back another few inches. Almost there.
"The dwarf is no threat, sir,"
the dragon assured himself.
"He'll make a tasty dinner."
"You think so?"
Blitz roared.
"Try me!"
Hiss.
Alderman retreated another inch. The third chink came into view. Fumbling and panicked, I positioned Jack's point against the weak spot in the hide. Then, with all my strength, I drove the sword into the dragon's chest. Chapter 27. We win a small rock. I'd like to tell you I had qualms about leaving Jack buried up to his hilt in dragon flesh. I didn't. My hand left the grip, and I was out of there, scrambling down the tunnel like a brownie on fire. The dragon roared and stomped above me, shaking the earth. The tunnel collapsed behind me, sucking at my feet, filling the air with acidic fumes. Yikes, I thought. Yikes, yikes, yikes. I am eloquent in times of danger. The crawl seemed to take much longer than 21 seconds. I didn't dare breathe. I imagined that my legs were burning off. If I made it out, I would look down and realize I was a sawed-off Magnus. Finally, black spots dancing in my eyes, I clawed my way out of the tunnel. I gasped and flailed, kicking off my shoes and jeans as if they were poison. Because they were. As I'd feared, dragon blood had splattered my pants and was sizzling through the denim. My shoes smoked. I dragged my bare legs across the forest floor, hoping to smear off any remaining drops of blood. When I checked my feet and the backs of my calves, I saw nothing wrong. No new craters in my flesh. No smoke. No smell of burning in hair ye. I could only guess that the collapsing tunnel had saved me, the mud mixing with the acid to slow down the tide of corrosion. Or maybe I'd just used up my luck for the next century. My heart hammered at a less frantic pace. I staggered into the clearing and found the green dragon Alderman lying on his side, tail flopping, legs twitching. He vomited up a feeble blast of napalm, torching a swath of dead leaves and squirrel skeletons. Jack's hilt protruded from the dragon's chest. My former hiding place was now a steaming sinkhole, slowly eating its way to the core of Alfheim. At the dragon's snout stood Hearthstone and Blitzen, both unharmed. Next to them, flickering like a weak candle flame, was the specter of Anderon. I'd only seen Hearth's brother once before, in the portrait above their father's fireplace. That painting had made him look like a young god, perfect and confident, tragically beautiful. What I saw in front of me, though, was just a boy. Fair-haired, skinny, knobby-kneed. I wouldn't have picked him out of a lineup of elementary schoolers, unless I was trying to identify kids likely to be bullied. Blitz had raised the front of his anti-sun netting, despite the risk of petrification. The skin around his eyes was starting to turn gray. His expression was grim. The dragon managed to draw a ragged breath.
"Traitor! Murderer!"
Blitzen balled his fists.
"You've got some nerve."
Hearthstone touched his sleeve. "Stop." He knelt next to the dragon's face so Alderman could see him signing. "I did not want this," Hearthstone signed. "I am sorry." The dragon's lips curled over his fangs.
"Use your board, traitor."
Alderman's inner eyelid shut, filming over his greasy green iris. A final plume of smoke escaped his nostrils. Then Alderman's massive body went still. I waited for him to return to elfish form. He didn't. His corpse seemed perfectly content to stay a dragon. Hearthstone rose. His expression was distant and confused, as if he'd just watched a movie made by an alien civilization and was trying to figure out what it meant. Blitzen turned to me.
You did good, kid. It had to happen.
I stared at him in amazement. You faced down a dragon. You made him back off. Blitzen shrugged.
I don't like bullies.
He pointed at my legs.
We might need to get you some new pants, kid. Dark khakis would go with that shirt. Or gray denim.
I understood why he wanted to change the subject. He didn't want to talk about how brave he'd been. He didn't see his actions as praiseworthy. It was simply a fact. You didn't mess with Blitzen's bestie. Hearthstone faced the ghost of his brother. Anderon signed. We tried, Hearth. Don't blame yourself. His features were hazy, but his expression was unmistakable. Unlike Mr. Alderman, Anderon felt nothing but love for his brother. Hearth wiped his eyes. He stared into the woods as if trying to find his bearings, then signed to Anderon, I don't want to lose you again. I know, the ghost gestured. I don't want to go.
Father.
Anderon chopped his palm, the symbol for stop.
Don't waste another minute on him, Anderon said. He took enough of your life. Will you eat his heart?
That made no sense, so I figured I must have interpreted the signs wrong. Hearth's face darkened. He signed,
I don't know.
Anderon gestured,
Come here.
Hearthstone hesitated. He edged closer to the ghost.
I will tell you a secret, Anderon said. When I whispered into that well, I made a wish. I wanted to be as kind and good as you, brother. You are perfect.
The little boy stretched out his phantom arms. Hearthstone leaned down to embrace him, and the ghost burst into white vapor. The Othala runestone fell into Hearth's palm. Hearth studied it for a moment, as if it were something he'd never seen before. A dropped jewel that the owner would surely want back. He curled his fingers around the stone and pressed it to his forehead. For once, it was my turn to read his lips. I was pretty sure he whispered,
Thank you.
Something rattled in the dragon's chest. I was afraid Alderman had started to breathe again, but then I realized it was Jack quivering angrily, trying to get free.
Stuck!
He shouted in a muffled voice.
Get me out of here!
Careful of my bare feet, I stepped toward the acidic cesspool. Blood still oozed from the dragon's chest, forming a steamy, muddy lake. There was no way I could get close enough to grab the hilt. Jack, I can't reach you. Can't you pull yourself out?
Pull my what? No!
He yelled.
Just said I'm stuck!
I frowned at Blitz. How can we get him out of there? Blitz cupped his hands and shouted to Jack as if he were on the other side of the Grand Canyon.
Jack! You'll just have to wait! The dragon's blood will lose its potency in about an hour! Then we can pull you free! An hour? Are you kidding me?
His hilt vibrated, but he remained firmly embedded in Alderman's ribcage.
He'll be fine, Blitz assured me.
Easy for him to say. He didn't have to live with the sword. Blitz touched Hearth's shoulder for attention.
Need to check cave for the whetstone, he signed.
You up for that? Hearth clutched the Othala rune tightly. He studied the dragon's face as if trying to see anything familiar there. Then he slipped the rune into his bag, making his set complete. "You two go ahead," he signed. "I need a minute." Blitz grimaced.
"Yeah, buddy, no problem. You've got a big decision to make."
"What decision?" I asked. Blitz gave me a look like, "Poor naive kid."
"Come on, Magnus. Let's check out this monster's treasure."
The treasure was easy to find. It took up most of the cave. In the middle of the hoard was a dragon-shaped impression where Alderman used to sleep. No wonder he'd been so cranky. That mound of coins, swords, and jewel-encrusted goblets couldn't have afforded much back support. I walked around the edges of the hoard, pinching my nose shut to block out the overwhelming stench. My mouth still tasted like a biology class terrarium.
"Where's the stone?" I asked. "I don't see any of Alderman's old artifacts."
Blitz scratched his beard.
"Well, dragons are vain. He probably wouldn't put his dull geology specimens on top. He'd bury those and show off the shiny stuff. I wonder..."
He crouched next to the treasure.
"Ha! Just as I figured.
Look!" Sticking out from the landslide of gold was the end of a braided cord. It took me a second to recognize it. "Is that the magic bag we got from Andvari?"
"Yep."
Blitz grinned. "The hoard is sitting right on top of it. Alderman might have been greedy, cruel, and horrible, but he wasn't stupid. He wanted his treasure to be easy to transport in case he had to find a new lair." It seemed to me that this also made the treasure really easy to steal. But I wasn't going to argue with the logic of a dead dragon. Blitz pulled the cord. A canvas tsunami engulfed the treasure, shuddering and shrinking, until lying on the floor at our feet was a simple tote bag, suitable for grocery shopping or concealing several $1 billion worth of priceless objects. Blitz lifted the bag with just two fingers. Against the back wall of the cave, underneath where the treasure had been piled, lay dozens of Alderman's artifacts. Many had been crushed by the weight of the gold. Fortunately for us, rocks were pretty durable. I picked up the round, gray whetstone I'd seen in my dream. Holding it did not fill me with ecstasy. Angels did not sing. I did not feel all-powerful, like I could defeat the mysterious, invincible guardians of Cavassier's Mead.
"Why this?" I asked. "Why is it worth..."
I couldn't put into words the sacrifices we'd made, especially Hearthstone. Blitzen took off his pith helmet. He ran his fingers through his sticky hair. Despite the cave's smell of death and decay, he looked relieved to be out of the sun.
"I don't know, kid," he said. "I can only assume we'll need the stone to sharpen some blades."
I looked around at Alderman's other artifacts. "Anything else we should take while we're here? Because I really don't want to come back."
"Hope not, because I'm in complete agreement."
With obvious reluctance, he put his helmet back on.
"Let's go. I don't want to leave Hearthstone alone too long."
As it turned out, Hearth was not alone. Somehow, he had freed Jack from the dragon's chest. Now the sword, being a contrary weapon, was diving right back into the dragon's carcass, wrenching the chest apart through a chink like he was performing an autopsy. Hearth seemed to be directing him.
"Whoa, whoa, whoa," I said. "What are you guys doing?"
"Oh, hey, senor,"
Jack floated over. He sounded cheerful for a gore-covered blade.
"The elf asked me to open the ribcage. At least, I'm pretty sure that's what he was asking. I figured since he used his magic to pull me free, it was the least I could do. Oh, and I already chopped off the ring. It's right there, ready to go."
I looked down. Sure enough, a few inches from my bare foot, Andvari's ring glittered on the swollen, severed toe of the dragon. I swallowed down a surge of bile.
"Ready to go? What are we doing with it?" Harth signed. Put it with the treasure. Take it back to River and return it to Andvari. Blitz scooped up the dragon toe and dropped it in his magical tote.
We'd best do this quick, kid, before the ring starts tempting us to use it.
Okay, but... I pointed to the partially dissected dragon. I'd never been a hunter, but one time my mom dated a guy who hunted. He'd taken us into the woods and tried to impress my mom by teaching me how to gut a carcass. That hadn't gone so well. Neither had their relationship. Anyway, looking at the dragon, I was sure Jack was trying to cut out Mr. Alderman's no longer vital organs.
Why?
I managed. Jack laughed.
Oh, come on, senor! I thought you knew! After killing a ring dragon, you have to cut out its heart, roast it, and eat it!
That's when I lost my lunch. Chapter 28. Don't ever ask me to cook my enemy's heart. So far on our quest, I'd done well not puking. I was on my way to being a not-puking professional. But the idea of eating a dragon's heart? Alderman's disgusting evil excuse for a heart? Nope. That was too much. I staggered into the woods and retched for so long I almost passed out. At last, Blitz clamped his hand on my shoulder and steered me away from the clearing.
Okay, kid, I know. Come on.
By the time I was somewhat coherent again, I realized Blitzen was leading me toward the river where we'd met Andvari. I didn't trust myself to speak, except for the occasional ow when I stepped barefoot on a rock or a branch or a nest of Alfheim fire ants. Finally, we reached the river. Standing at the edge of a little waterfall, I peered down into Anvari's pool. It hadn't changed much since last time. It was impossible to tell if the slimy old dwarf still lived down there, disguised as a slimy old fish. Maybe after we robbed him, he'd given up, moved to Key West, and retired. If so, I was tempted to join him.
You ready? Blitz's voice was strained. I'm going to need your help.
I squinted at him through the yellow film in my eyes. Blitz held the tote bag over the edge, ready to drop it into the pool, but his arm trembled. He yanked the bag back, as if to save the treasure from its fate, then extended his arm again with difficulty, like he was bench-pressing the entire weight of the gold.
Going to fight me,
Blitz grumbled.
Dwarves throwing away treasure. Not easy.
Somehow I managed to get my head out of eat Dragonheart, what the hellheim mode. I grabbed the bag's other strap. Immediately I felt what Blitz was talking about. My mind was flooded with glorious ideas about what I could do with all this treasure. Buy a mansion? But wait, I already had Uncle Randolph's mansion, and I didn't even want it. Get a yacht? I already had a big yellow boat. No thanks. Save for retirement? I was dead. Send my kids to college? And Harryar can't have kids. We're dead. The bag shuddered and kicked. It seemed to be rethinking its strategy.
Okay, it whispered in my thoughts. How about helping the homeless? Think of all the good you could do with the gold. And this bagful is just the down payment. Put on that lovely ring, and you'll get infinite wealth. You could build housing, provide meals, job training.
These possibilities were more tempting. But I knew it was a trick. This treasure would never do anyone any good. I looked down at my bare legs, scraped and muddy. I remembered the suffocating smell of dragon belly. I recalled Hearthstone's miserable expression as he said goodbye to his father. I muttered,
"Stupid treasure."
"Yeah," said Blitz.
"On three, one, two..."
We tossed the bag into the pool. I resisted the urge to jump in after it. "There you go, Andvari," I said. "Enjoy." Or maybe Andvari was gone. In which case, we'd just made a family of trout billionaires. Blitz sighed with relief. "Okay, that's one burden gone. Now, the other thing." My stomach rebelled all over again. "I'm not really supposed to... eat the dragon's heart? You?" Blitz shook his head. "Well, you are the one who killed him. But in this case, no. You don't eat the heart." "Thank the gods. Hearth has to do that." "What?" Blitz's shoulders slumped. "The dragon was Hearth's kin, Magnus. When you kill a ring dragon, you can put its spirit to rest by destroying its heart. You can either burn it up..."
"Yeah, let's do that."
"Or you can consume it. In which case, you inherit all the dragon's memories and wisdom." I try to imagine why Hearthstone would want any of his father's memories or so-called wisdom. For that matter, why would he even feel obliged to put Alderman's evil spirit to rest? Anduron had told him not to waste a minute longer worrying about dead old dad, and that sounded like excellent brotherly advice. But if Hearth... I mean, isn't that cannibalism? Or dragonbalism or something?
"I can't answer that."
Blitz sounded like he badly wanted to answer that with a loud, "Yes, I know it's disgusting.
Let's go help him with... whatever he decides."
Jack and Hearthstone had built a campfire. Hearthstone turned a spit over the flames, while Jack floated next to him singing, "Roll out the barrel," at the top of his non-existent lungs. Being deaf, Hearthstone was the ideal audience. The scene would have been charming, except for the 6-ton dragon carcass rotting nearby, the sickly expression on Hearthstone's pale face, and the basketball-sized black glistening thing sizzling on the spit, filling the air with the smell of barbecue. The fact that Alderman's heart actually smelled like food made me even sicker. Hearthstone signaled with his free hand.
"Done?"
"Yeah," Blitzen signed back. "Treasure and ring gone. Very wealthy fish." Hearthstone nodded, apparently satisfied. His blonde hair was speckled with mud and leaves, which reminded me, ridiculously, of parade confetti, like the forest was throwing him a grim celebration for his father's death.
"Hearth, man," I pointed at the heart. "You don't have to do this. There's got to be another way."
"That's what I told him," Jack said. "Of course, he can't hear me, but still."
Hearth started to sign with one hand, which is like trying to talk without vowels. He gave up in frustration. He pointed to me, then to the spit.
"Take this for me."
I didn't want to get anywhere close to that dragon heart, but I was the only one who could talk and turn the spit at the same time. Hearth could at least read my lips. Blitzen could sign, but his face was covered with netting. And Jack, well, he just wasn't very helpful. I took over organ roasting duty. The heart seemed much too heavy and wobbly for the spit, which was placed across 2 makeshift tree branch stakes. Keeping it balanced over the flames took a lot of concentration. Hearthstone flexed his fingers, warming up for a long conversation. His Adam's apple bobbed up and down as if his throat was already protesting tonight's dinner special.
"If I eat the heart," Hearthstone signed, "it means father's knowledge not lost forever."
"Yeah," I said. "But why would you want that?" His fingers hesitated in the air.
"Memories of mother, Anduron, older family knowledge, knowing my..."
He made an H with 2 fingers extended, then whacked the back of his opposite hand. I guessed it was the sign for history,
though it looked a lot like a teacher slapping a bad student with a ruler. "But you'd know things only from your father's perspective," I said. "He was poison. Like Anderon told you, you don't owe your father anything. He's got no wisdom to give." Jack laughed.
"Right? Dude collected rocks, after all."
I decided it was just as well Hearth and my sword couldn't communicate. Hearth's mouth tightened. He understood me just fine, but I could tell I wasn't saying anything he didn't already know. He didn't want to eat that disgusting thing, but he felt... I didn't know the right word in English or sign language. Obliged? Honor-bound? Maybe Hearth hoped against hope that if he knew his father's inner thoughts, he would find some glimmer of love in there, something that could redeem his memory. I knew better. I wasn't about digging up the painful past. Look behind somebody's horrible exterior, and you usually found a horrible interior, shaped by a horrible history. I didn't want Alderman's thoughts affecting Hearthstone, literally being ingested by him. There had to be a vegetarian option, or a Buddhist one. I would even have settled for a green-hair-friendly meal. Blitzen sat down, crossing his legs at the ankles. He patted his friend's knee. "Your choice. But the soul will still rest if you make the other choice."
"Yes," I asked. "Destroy the heart. Just let it go."
That's when I messed up. I got too excited. I was focusing on Hearth and not paying attention to my job as chef. I turned the spit a little too forcefully. The heart wobbled. The braces collapsed inward, and the whole thing toppled into the fire. Oh, but wait. It gets worse. With my lightning-fast and incredibly stupid and hair-y reflexes, I grabbed for the heart. I almost caught it in one hand, but it rolled off my fingertips and crashed into the flames, combusting like its ventricles were filled with gasoline. In a red flash, the heart was gone. Oh, but wait. It gets worse still. The sizzling heart left boiling grease on my fingertips. And dumb Magnus, incredibly gross Magnus, I did what most people do when they touch something hot. I instinctively put my fingers to my mouth. The taste was like ghost chili mixed with concentrated Hawaiian punch syrup. I pulled my fingertips out and tried to spit away the blood. I retched and wiped my tongue. I crawled around sputtering, "No! No! No!" But it was too late. Even that little taste of Dragonheart's blood had infiltrated my system. I could feel it seeping into my tongue, humming through my capillaries.
"Senor!"
Jack flew toward me, his runes glowing orange.
"You shouldn't have done that!"
I bit back an insult about my sword's godlike powers of hindsight. Blitzen's face was obscured by netting, but his posture was even stiffer than the time he'd been petrified.
"Kid! Oh, gods, you feel okay? Dragon blood can... well, it can bring out some strange stuff in your DNA. Humans have DNA, don't they?"
I wished we didn't. I gripped my gut, worried that I might already be turning into a dragon. Or worse, an evil elf father. I forced myself to meet Hearthstone's eyes.
"Hearth, I'm so sorry. It was an accident, I swear. I didn't mean to..."
My voice faltered. I wasn't sure I believed me. I didn't know why Hearth would. I'd suggested destroying the heart. Then I'd done it. Worse, I'd tasted it. Hearth's face was a mask of shock.
"Tell me what to do," I pleaded. "I'll find some way to make it right."
Hearthstone held up his hand. I'd seen the wall of ice he put up on those rare occasions when he was truly furious, but I saw none of that now. Instead, his muscles seemed to be unknotting, his tension draining away. He looked
relieved. "It is weird," Hearth signed. "You killed the dragon. Fate decided that you would taste his blood."
"But..." I stopped myself from making another apology. Hearth's expression made it clear he didn't want that.
"You put my father's soul to rest," Hearth signed. "You saved me from that deed. It may cost you, though. It is I who am sorry."
I was relieved he wasn't angry with me. Then again, I didn't like the new wariness in his gaze, as if he was waiting to see how the dragon blood would affect me. Then, somewhere above, a chittering voice said,
"What a knucklehead!"
I flinched.
"You okay, senor?" asked Jack.
I scanned the canopy of trees. I saw no one. Another tiny voice said,
"He doesn't even know what he's done, does he?"
"Not a clue," the first voice agreed.
I spotted the source of the voices. On a branch about 20 feet up, two robins were eyeing me. They spoke in a series of chirps, as birds do, but somehow their meaning was clear to me.
"Ah, eggshells,"
the first robin cursed.
"He sees us. Fly, fly."
The two birds darted away.
"Kid?" Blitz asked.
My heart raced. What was happening to me? Was I hallucinating?
Yes, I gulped. "Yeah, I'm okay. I guess."
Hearthstone studied me, clearly unconvinced, but he decided not to argue. He rose to his feet, then glanced one last time at the corpse of his dragon father.
"We've lingered too long," he signed. "Should take the whetstone back to the ship. It may already be too late to stop Loki."
Chapter 29. We almost become a Norwegian tourist attraction. Jumping off a cliff was the least strange thing I did in Alfheim. Blitz, Hearth, and I hiked to an outcropping of rock at the edge of the Alderman property, the sort of place where a megalomaniac businessman could stand, survey the neighbor's estates in the valley below, and think, "Someday all this will be mine, bwa-ha-ha!" We were just high enough to break our legs if we fell, so Hearth declared the spot perfect. He cast Ridehu, the rune of traveling, as we jumped. The air rippled around us, and instead of smashing into the ground below, we landed in a heap on the deck of the Big Banana, right on top of Halfborn Gunderson.
"Eldus faithful!"
Halfborn roared. That was another of his favorite insults. As he explained it, an Eldus faithful was a fool who sat by the communal fire all day, so basically a village idiot. Plus, it just sounded insulting. Eldus faithful. We climbed off him and apologized. Then I healed his broken arm, which was still in a sling and had been rebroken by the weight of a falling dwarven butt.
"Humph,"
he said.
"I suppose I forgive you, but I just washed my hair. You ruined my do."
His hair looked no different than usual, so I couldn't tell if he was joking. He didn't kill us with his battle axe, though, so I guess he wasn't too upset. Night had fallen in Midgard. Our ship sailed the open sea under a net of stars. Blitz stripped off his overcoat, gloves, and pith helmet, and took in a lungful of air.
"Finally."
The first person to emerge from below decks was Alex Fierro, dressed like a 1950s greaser. Her green-black hair slicked back, her white t-shirt tucked into lime-colored jeans.
"Thank the gods!"
She rushed toward me, which lifted my spirits for about a microsecond, until she plucked the pink Buddy Holly glasses off my face.
"My outfit wasn't complete without these. I hope you didn't scratch them."
While she polished her specs, Mallory, TJ, and Samira clambered up to the deck.
Whoa!
Sam averted her eyes. Magnus, where are your pants? Long story.
Well, put on some clothes, Beantown, Mallory ordered. Then tell us the story.
I went below to get pants and shoes. When I came back, the crew was gathered around Hearth and Blitz, who were recounting our adventure in the magical land of elves, light, and reeking dragon carcasses. Sam shook her head.
Oh, Hearthstone, I am so sorry about your dad.
The others murmured in agreement. Hearth shrugged. It had to be done. Magnus bore the worst of it. Tasting the heart. I winced.
Yeah, about that. I should probably tell you guys something.
I explained about the conversation I'd overheard between the two Robins. Alex Fierro snorted, then covered her mouth.
I'm sorry, it's not funny.
She signed, Hearth, your father, the heart. Awful. I can't imagine. She continued aloud.
In fact, I have something for you.
From her pocket, she pulled a diaphanous silk scarf of pink and green.
I noticed you lost your other one.
Hearth took the scarf like it was a holy relic. He solemnly wrapped it around his collar.
Thank you, he signed. Love. You bet.
Alex faced me, her mouth curling in a mischievous smile.
But honestly, Magnus, you fumbled the heart. You tasted the blood. And now you're talking to the animals?
I didn't talk, I protested. I only listened.
Like Dr. Doolittle?
TJ frowned. Who is Dr. Doolittle? Does he live in Valhalla?
He's a character from a book.
Samira bit a chunk off her cucumber sandwich. Since it was nighttime, she was doing her best to eat all the ship's food rations as fast as possible.
Magnus, any other effects you've noticed from the heart's blood? I'm worried about you.
I don't think so. The effects might only be temporary, TJ suggested. Do you still feel weird?
Weirder than usual?
Alex clarified. No, I said. But it's hard to be sure. There aren't any animals around to listen to.
I could turn into a ferret, Alex offered, and we could have a conversation.
Thanks, anyway. Mallory Keene had been trying out our new whetstone on one of her knives. Now she flung the newly sharpened blade against the deck. The knife sank up to its hilt in the solid wood.
Well, well.
Try not to destroy our boat, woman, Halfborn said. We're still sailing in it.
She made a face at him.
This is quite a good sharpener the boys brought back.
TJ coughed. Yeah, could I see that from my bayonet?
No, indeed.
Mallory slipped the stone in the pocket of her jacket.
I don't trust you lot with this little beauty. I think I'll hold on to it so you all don't hurt yourselves. As for the dragon blood, Magnus, I wouldn't worry. You are a son of Frey, one of the most powerful nature gods. Perhaps the dragon's blood simply enhanced your natural abilities. Makes sense for you to understand forest creatures.
Huh. I nodded, slightly encouraged. Maybe you're right. Still, I'd feel bad if I took away part of Hearthstone's heritage. I mean, what if Mr. Alderman could understand animals? Hearth shook his head.
Father was not Dr. Doolittle. Do not feel guilty. I have the Othala rune back. That is enough for me.
He looked exhausted but relieved, like he'd just finished a 6-hour test he'd been dreading all semester. He might not be sure he passed, but at least the ordeal was over.
Well,
said Samira,
We have the whetstone. Now we have to get to Flom, find Cavassier's mead, and figure out how to defeat its guardians.
Then feed the mead to Magnus, Alex said, hoping it gives him the gift of speaking incomplete sentences. Mallory frowned as if she found this unlikely.
Then we find the Ship of the Dead, and pray Magnus can beat Loki in a flighting.
Then somehow recapture that Mainfritter, Halfborn said. Stop Naglfar from launching, and prevent Ragnarok. Assuming, of course, we're not too late already.
That seemed like a big assumption. We'd burned 2 more days in Alfheim. Midsummer was roughly 10 days away now, and I was pretty sure Loki's ship would be able to sail well before that. Also, my mind stuck on Mallory's words. Pray Magnus can beat Loki in a flighting. I didn't have Sam's faith in prayer, especially when it was a prayer about me. Blitz sighed.
I'm going to wash up. I smell like a troll. Then I'm going to sleep for a very long time.
Good idea, Halfborn said. Magnus and Harth, you should too.
I could get behind that plan. Jack had returned to runestone form on my neck chain, which meant my arms and shoulders now ached like I'd spent the day sawing through dragonhide. My skin itched all over, as if my anti-acid finish had been sorely tested. TJ rubbed his hands with excitement.
Tomorrow morning we should enter the fjords of Norway. I can't wait to see what we get to kill there.
I slept without dreams, which was a nice change, until eventually Samira shook me awake. She was grinning way too much for someone on a fast.
You really should see this. I struggled out of my sleeping bag.
When I got to my feet and looked over the railing, I lost the ability to breathe. On either side of the ship, so close I could almost touch them, sheer cliffs rose out of the water, 1,000-foot-high walls of rock marbled with waterfalls. White rivulets of snow melt coursed down the ridges, bursting into mist that fractured the sunlight into rainbows. The sky had been reduced to a jagged ravine of deep blue directly above. Around the hull, the water was so green it might have been algae puree. In the shadow of those cliffs, I felt so small I could only think of one place we might be.
Jotunheim?
TJ laughed. No, it's just Norway. Pretty, huh? Pretty didn't do it justice. I felt like we'd sailed into a world meant for much larger beings. A place where gods and monsters roamed freely. Of course, I knew gods and monsters roamed freely all over Midgard. Heimdall was fond of a certain bagel place near Fenway. Giants often strolled through the marshes in Longview. But Norway seemed like a proper stomping ground for them. I got a little ache in my heart, thinking how much my mom would have loved this place. I wished I could share it with her. I could picture her hiking along those clifftops, relishing the sun and the crisp, clean air. At the prow stood Alex and Mallory, both silent in amazement. Harth and Blitz must have still been asleep below. Halfborn sat at the rudder, a sour look on his face. What's wrong? I asked him. The berserker eyed the cliffs as if they might collapse on us if we made a bad comment.
Nah, it's beautiful. Hasn't really changed since I was a boy.
Flom was your hometown? I guessed. He let out a bitter laugh.
Well, wasn't much of a town. And it wasn't called Flom back then. Just a nameless fishing village at the end of the fjord. You'll see the spot in a minute.
His knuckles whitened on the rudder.
As a boy, I couldn't get out of here fast enough. Joined Ivar the Boneless when I was 12, and went a Viking. I told my mom... He grew silent. I told her
I wouldn't come back until the Skalds were singing about my heroic deeds. I never saw her again.
The boat glided onward, the soft applause of the waterfalls echoing through the fjord.